Welcome to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Paul Lawrence, the co-chairman of the IBM Endowment for the Business of Government. We created the endowment in 1998 to encourage discussion and research into new approaches to improving government effectiveness. Find out more about the endowment by visiting us on the web at www.businessofgovernment.org. The Business of Government Hour features a conversation about management with a government executive who is changing the way government does business. Our conversation this morning is with Woody Hall. Woody is the Assistant Commissioner and Chief Information Officer of the U.S. Customs Service. Good morning, Woody.
Good morning, Paul.
And joining us in our conversation is Craig Petrin. Good morning, Craig.
Good morning.
Well, Woody, a lot of people have been hearing about the Customs Service lately. Could you give us an overview of the various functions of the agency?
Sure. Customs was established in 1789. It's one of the oldest law enforcement agencies in the U.S. government. We're responsible for protecting America's borders from terrorism and other unlawful activities. We enforce hundreds of laws and international agreements that protect the United States, and we're also a major source of revenue, collecting more than $20 billion a year in tariffs. We do a variety of things, from protecting intellectual property rights, enforcing duties on imported goods, doing drug interdiction, trying to interdict the shipment of illegal weapons, and other sorts of technology that might be dangerous. And then we act on behalf of many other government agencies, trying to ensure that dangerous foods or goods or chemicals are not imported into the United States.
One of the things you mentioned was that you work closely with other agencies to guard our borders. Now, if I remember my civics right, the DEA and the INS and the numerous agencies work at the borders. How does that come together?
Well, that's right, Paul. In our capacity as the agency charged with protecting the borders of the United States, we enforce the laws of more than 30 different government agencies. We not only work closely with a number of these agencies in the operational environment, we also share our technology with them. We have numerous computer systems that serve to link agencies with border security responsibilities. Although Customs developed these systems primarily to support our own mission, they are used daily by more than 30 other federal, state, and local agencies with border enforcement responsibilities. For example, our trade system, the automated commercial system, interfaces with other government agencies to electronically transfer data on import transactions. The interface eliminates the need for paper copies of other agencies' forms, which are otherwise required by Customs with the entry or entry summary of a shipment. The other government agency's interface allows filers to comply with Department of Transportation, Bureau of Census, Federal Communications Commission, Food and Drug Administration, and U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service requirements. We also operate and maintain the Treasury Enforcement Communication System that supports inspectional personnel at borders and ports of entry by linking terminals in the Treasury Department's law enforcement facilities with other organizations throughout the world. There are in excess of 40,000 active users from over 30 different federal agencies. The primary users of the Treasury Enforcement Communication System include U.S. Customs Service, Immigration and Naturalization Service, Federal Bureau of Investigation, Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms, Drug Enforcement Agency, Internal Revenue Service, U.S. Department of Agriculture's Animal, Plant, and Health Inspection Services, and Department of State and the Secret Service.
As the Assistant Commissioner and Chief Information Officer for the U.S. Customs Service, can you tell us a little bit about your specific responsibilities in that job?
I'm responsible for managing all of the technology and scientific resources that support the Customs mission. Specifically, I manage all of our software development efforts and our automated information systems, including those systems that support our trade, enforcement, administrative, and financial functions. I also manage the Customs research and development efforts, the Customs computer and related resources, including our infrastructure, all operational aspects of the Customs computer security program, our internationally accredited laboratory system, our Information Resources Center, which is a virtual library that personnel can access nationwide, and all of the management administration functions that go with these activities.
Can you tell us a little bit about your career prior to coming to the U.S. Customs Service?
Sure. Prior to coming to the U.S. Customs Service, I was Deputy Assistant Secretary for Information Management at the Department of Energy. I was there for about 5 years. I was the first Chief Information Officer under the newly enacted Clinger-Cohen Act. The biggest challenge there really was to put all those management processes in place that this new, more disciplined approach to managing information technology required. It actually was a very fascinating place with their own national laboratory system that does a lot of advanced research and development. Prior to that, I had spent about 23 years working for the Department of the Air Force in a variety of positions related to the development and deployment of information systems. Worked in a number of major commands as a civilian, and my final assignment was in the Pentagon.
Looking back, what experiences do you think best prepared you for, you know, your current position?
Well, I guess I feel like my career has kind of built on itself, not always by design, but I think I learned a great deal about program management, particularly program management of large systems, while I worked for the Air Force. During my time there, I had a number of assignments, not only in the logistics and support commands, which used a lot of information systems, but I spent a number of years working for the Joint Chiefs of Staff, building command and control systems, and then with the Air Force Communications Command itself, which in those days was responsible for either acquiring or developing virtually all of the base level communications and computer systems. So that was good experience for me. While I was at the Department of Energy, I learned a great deal about dealing with senior executives, particularly political appointees, and that's where I first began to interact with the congressional staffs. And these are all important things to know how to do when you're trying to manage large programs, trying to deal with the marketing and the advocacy pieces of building credibility and understanding about why programs are needed and keeping people assured that you're managing them well and delivering value to the public. And this is all very critical to the modernization program that we currently have underway at U.S. Customs.
You spent a long time with the U.S. Air Force in the technology areas, and then you left and went to the Department of Energy. I'm curious at that point, what were the factors in your decision to go to a civilian agency versus, say, another military-based agency or even go into the private sector? I wonder how you thought about that decision.
Well, I've reached a point several times in my career where I had the option of going to the private sector, and it's always been tempting. But civil service, I think, is a calling for those of us who spend most of our working careers doing this kind of work. I think most of us take great personal satisfaction from it. We view it as a real opportunity to make a difference. And it's interesting work. That's kept me in government service, I think. The move from the Department of the Air Force to the Department of Energy was one of those serendipitous things that occur every once in a while. I was very happy with the Air Force. I'd spent my career there. I had a very responsible position in the Pentagon. As it turned out, a fellow that I had worked for previously, who was a senior officer in the Air Force, had retired and come back as a political appointee at the Department of Energy. And he needed a senior information technology executive. So it was kind of one of those opportunities that come up sometimes. So you really aren't looking, but they're just too interesting to walk away from. And I was about ready for a change, and it just was the right timing for me. So I was looking forward to the opportunity to work with this gentleman again. It was a good time to be at the Department of Energy. A lot of new things were happening, and we're trying to get the Clean Air Act implemented. So I decided to make the move. Kind of unusual for most senior folks in the federal government, but it was a good move for me. I grew a lot personally and professionally, learned a lot, and really I think that shift eventually set up the opportunity to move over to Customs and have the opportunity to lead a major modernization program, which is primarily what I do now.
Did you ever chance to reflect upon the differences in the management culture of a sort of a military-based organization and the civilian-based organization?
Well, that's been very interesting. I've spent 23 years primarily working for the military on military staffs as a civilian, so that was interesting in and of itself. You find the military departments more structured in lots of ways, but I still found that military organizations have a high regard for initiative and imagination, and so that structure really doesn't seem to have a negative effect on the creativity and so forth. I found my assignments and the organizations I worked for at the Defense Department very stimulating, a lot of interesting work going on, heavy use of technology. When I moved to the Department of Energy, the real difference was this lack of structure. The Department of Energy does a lot of creative work, a lot of advanced research, a lot of academically oriented folks. And so there was more emphasis on flexibility and let a thousand flowers bloom and that kind of thing. And so that was the biggest adjustment I had to make. I went from a place where everybody did a memo the same way and everybody understood exactly how you coordinated a piece of work to a place that was very creative in terms of how it expressed its work effort. But you learn to do that. And so it was just a different culture.
This is a good stopping point. Come back with us in a few minutes as we continue our discussion with Woody Hall of the U.S. Customs Service. Customs is in the midst of a large modernization program. When we come back, we'll ask Woody to tell us how's it going. This is the Business of Government Hour.